All right, as we mentioned in the welcome, we are starting a new series today, and we're calling that series, Who is Jesus? And essentially, during these next several Sunday mornings, actually it'll be seven of them, we will be looking at the various I am statements in the Gospel of John. So some of you might know what I'm talking about when I say the I am passages. For others of you, you might be thinking, okay, what does that mean? I am passages in the Gospel of John. Eight or nine times, John, in his Gospel account of Jesus, mentions those times in which Jesus says something very important about his identity by saying, like what we're going to look at today, I am the bread of life, or I am the gate, or I am the light of the world. I am the way, truth, and life. I am the good shepherd. So John records these different times in which Jesus says these kind of things. And when Jesus makes this kind of statement about his identity, it is very important that we take note. The truth of the matter is understanding and processing that question, who is Jesus, will influence in all kinds of ways who we are. So we ask the question, who is Jesus? And in response to who Jesus says that he is, we reflect on the kind of people that we're to be. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus influences every aspect of our life, whether it's our family life or our work life or our recreational life. All of these areas are influenced by our understanding of who Jesus is. So I see this as a very important sermon series as we reflect on just who it is that we have chosen to follow. As a matter of fact, if you have friends or maybe family members or neighbors who don't know much about Jesus, I think this would be a very good sermon series to invite them to. This will be a good, maybe, introduction to Jesus. And we'll be actually looking at Jesus' words about himself to come to understand him a little bit more. And the truth of the matter is that not only is our life greatly influenced by our understanding of Jesus, but through allowing Jesus to transform our lives and to work in our lives, we have the opportunity to make an impact on other people. So by you reflecting on the identity, character, mission of Jesus, you are becoming an instrument of influencing others for Jesus Christ as well. So this is a very important sermon series. I have to say this, I get starstruck very easily. There's been a couple of occasions where I actually embarrassed Sarah because of how starstruck I was. One of those times, we were in a Mexican food restaurant, and a golfer, his name is Scott Verplank, and his family came into the restaurant. And so I was super excited. I watched him in real life a few times. I had the opportunity to walk alongside him as he played around one time. And so I've gotten to see him play. And so we saw him in this Mexican restaurant. I never had the chance to meet him, and he was there with his family. And so I just told Sarah, I have got to go meet him. I want to go shake his hand. And Sarah's like, no, he's with his family. He just wants to be private. He doesn't want to be bothered. But I just said, I've got to go over and meet him. And so sure enough, he's just sitting there with his little kids. And this random guy just walks up, you know, hey, Mr. Verplank, it's really a big fan. It was not cool at all. And Sarah is just standing over on the side, just hiding herself. Like, I do not know this guy whatsoever. There was another time we were in a restaurant, and one of the Oklahoma City Thunder players had a table next to us, and his name is Nick Collison, really good player for the Thunder, and has just over the years has developed into one of the big, really good big men in the league, one of the tall forwards. And so we were sitting at a table next to him, and I know this is weird. I just couldn't keep my eye off him because he was so tall and big, and I've seen him on TV, but I've never seen him in person. And just like, this is just incredible. And Sarah just kept saying, stop staring at him. But I was like, it's an NBA player. This is incredible. And so this time, though, she wouldn't let me go over and introduce myself or go meet him or anything like that. But I do get starstruck easily. And for Sarah, she's thinking, who is Scott Verplank? Who is Nick Collison? Who cares who these people are? What we're going to talk about in this series is who Jesus is, and it makes a profound difference on our lives and on other lives on who Jesus is. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to start in John chapter 6. I'm going to say it right off the start that the big idea for the message today is simply this, that Jesus provides the nourishment and the strength that we need for today and for eternity. Very simple. Jesus provides the nourishment and strength that we need both for today and for eternity. Simple enough. John chapter 6, starting at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So what we're going to do over the next few minutes is kind of break this passage down now and kind of talk through it verse by verse. I want to start off, though, by mentioning something important about me. As I said, the big idea for today's message is simply this. Our true source of nourishment and strength comes through Jesus Christ. But the truth is, even for my own life, as I reflect on that important truth, I have not always found my nourishment and strength from Jesus Christ. Even with good things like ministry, sometimes I have tried to find nourishment and strength on my own terms, in my own way. And the truth is, that is not beneficial whatsoever for ministry. You end up running on empty. You don't have the strength. You don't have the peace to do what you need to do. Also, I've seen in academics, I've gone to school for ministry and continued to study. Oftentimes, what ended up happening is I tried to find my strength and my nourishment in academics, in studying. But you can read a lot of books. You can do a lot of study, but you still can miss Jesus, and it comes down to our relationship with him. Even in relationships, there's been times where I've tried to find my nourishment through relationships, through dating relationships, or even with Sarah. And as great as Sarah is, she is not the true strength or the true source of strength in my life. It comes down to Jesus Christ. Or even with sports, right? Recreation. Pour your life into recreation. Although that may be fun, that is not to shape our identity. For some of you, it might be with work, right? Climbing the corporate ladder is the way that you have your identity shaped. You might try to find your nourishment, your strength in your business identity. But we find out that that so often leaves us empty. I reflected on this question for my own life, and perhaps you can reflect on this question for yourself as well. If Jesus weren't in my life, would my life look any different? If Jesus weren't in your life, would your life look any different? In other words, how has the truth of you being a disciple of Jesus impacted or influenced the way in which you live? That can be a sobering thought. Is Jesus your true source of nourishment? If he's not, then who or what is? And then think through this question. Who have you known that when you look at their life, you say, this person finds their strength and nourishment in Jesus? How did you know that? Did their life look different? Were their priorities set in a certain order? How did you know that? How did you see Jesus living in them? The truth is, when we think about life, it's like we're in McDonald's and we see just this huge menu. There used to be like three, there used to never be combo meals. Now there are like 33 combo meals. And so you stand up there and you look at all these different combo meals and you say, okay, I could get burger and fries, I get chicken nuggets and fries, chicken strips and fries, fried chicken and fries. You can get all these different things, right? Double burger, cheeseburger, all these different options. And so our life is like that so often because we look at all these different things. Some of the things that I've mentioned already, work, family, relationships, school, all these different areas. And we say, okay, which of these am I going to choose to fill me, to bring me nourishment? And so we stand there and we look. We think, I've seen other people, they've chosen that. I've seen other people, my parents or maybe our children, they have chosen that to nourish them. And it, of course, we have to reflect on, well, how is that working out for them? But the truth of the matter is, as we think about our world, we see all of these different sources of nourishment and strength. But so oftentimes, these leave us empty. They leave us unfulfilled. So let's start working through this now. Chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For in him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So, you have to appreciate that all of these people are searching for Jesus. But what we see in Jesus' response to them is that they're actually searching for Jesus, not because they like want to learn from him or be a follower, but they want more bread. So you remember what happened the day before what happened here, what we're reading here in chapter 6, or this part of chapter 6? It's when Jesus fed the 5,000. An incredible miracle, an incredible sign of God's faithfulness to the people. He took care of them. And so now you can't blame these people. This is the bread guy. This is the fish guy, right? He hooked us up in a big way, supersized and all. And so now they're continuing to look for Jesus, but we see that they're actually looking for Jesus, not because they understand him is the true source of nourishment, but they can get some bread from him. Simple as that. So Jesus responds to them, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Then Jesus says this. This is important. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So he says, work for food that truly nourishes, food that nourishes to eternal life. And he says that he can give that food to them. God has approved or sealed Jesus for doing that work, for even making that statement to the people that day. Verses 28 and 29. So they ask him, and this is a natural question. What must we do to do the works God requires? That sounds pretty good, Jesus. What do we got to do next? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask, what are these works that you're talking about? Jesus, tell us a little bit more about it. Explain yourself. And Jesus says this, here's the work that you need to do. Here's what it's about. believe in me. Trust me. That's at the foundation of life. The foundation of this teaching even is simply this. Believe in me. I came upon this passage several years ago, and as it's typical for a guy like in his mid-20s at that time, I was always thinking, what is my purpose? You know, what is life really about? And I was searching out all these things I was thinking about. I was frustrated with certain things, some of those things that I mentioned, relationships and academics and even ministry. And so I was just thinking about this. What is life really about? What are we supposed to do? Take note of what Jesus says there. The works of God. Simply this. Believe in Jesus. Trust Jesus. Follow Him. Allow Him to lead your life. And I believe as you do that, you will not only find nourishment and strength, but you will develop or learn His purposes and His ways, His desires for your life. Okay, goes on, 30 through 33. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread in heaven to eat." So they say, okay, you say we are to believe in you, right? Well, can you give us a sign? Is there something you can do before we do that? Oh, how quickly people forget. Remember why they were searching for him in the first place? Because he fed 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And now Jesus says, I bring true life. I bring the nourishment. And they say, okay, what do we need to do? Believe in me. Can you give us a sign? Can you do something? I'm surprised Jesus doesn't say, remember yesterday? Remember that? You all forget so quickly. But Jesus says this to them. He says, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So Jesus starts hinting at what he's about to get at. He's got them kind of hooked at this point. He says, the bread comes from heaven and gives life to the world. So they're saying, okay, tell us more about this bread. We want to know more. 34 and 35. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. We want what you've got. Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. First of all, you have to appreciate their statement of faith. Always give us this bread. Isn't that a prayer that all of us should have all of the time when we reflect on Jesus and the strength and nourishment that he can bring to our lives? Jesus, always give us this bread. Feed us. Bring us what we need to be the kind of people you've called us to be. And Jesus says, I am this bread that you need. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never again thirst. Don't miss this. The kind of love that we see from God through Jesus to his people. This is a powerful sign of God's faithfulness and love to his people as he promises protection and nourishment to those that he's created. God says, I give you strength. I give you nourishment. I give you eternal life. I love you. I love you. I love you. We think about our country, right? This land that has so much wealth, so much stuff, so much food. But the truth is, we reflect on the lives of our neighbors, and as we watch the news and we hear what some of our coworkers struggle with, although there's so much, we're so thirsty. We're so hungry. We're so empty. Do you see that? Do you see that in the people that you interact with? Does, as you process what you are seeing in the world, do you see the hunger? Do you see the thirst? And we know the truth is that nourishment, that feeding, that drink comes from the bread of life and the living water, Jesus Christ. So I'll ask you, are you hungry? Do you desire this nourishment and strength? Maybe for some of us, why do you keep trying to find this nourishment from so many other places, like Whit mentioned? Why do you keep buying the energy drink when Jesus is right there saying, I'm here. I am the one that brings true nourishment. I am the living water. Do you know someone that needs this bread? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone that you have interacted for years and years, and they're hungry, and you know where they can find food. Let's skip down for just a moment in chapter 6, all the way down to verses 66 and 67. So Jesus provides this great teaching, and we saw this section 25 through 35, and Whit read for us a later part of that section. It's a hard teaching in some ways, saying, I am going to be your strength. Give your life over to me. And so notice in verse 66 what happens. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus says, I am the nourishment. And many disciples said, no, thank you. We'll find our strength somewhere else. Jesus looks at the apostles, those 12, and he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? You don't want to try to find your strength, your life, your source of nourishment from somewhere else, do you? So he looks at the 12, and I believe he asks all of us this question. He asked the students, as life is hard at your school, at your high school, at your middle school, and you are tempted to find that life somewhere else, that energy from somewhere else, that nourishment from somewhere else. And Jesus looks at you, students, and he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? And he looks at the young parents as you're trying to balance life as an employee and as a parent and trying to make ends meet. And he says to the young parents, he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? And he says to you as you get a little bit older in life and now your identity is not found necessarily in your job and you've got the different struggles because of seeing your children perhaps not go in the direction that you would hope they would go. And Jesus looks at you and says, you don't want to leave too, do you? He looks at all of us. He says, you don't want to leave too, do you? Of course, we know, as usual, Peter's the one that speaks up. And he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are our strength, our hope, our salvation. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So our hope, church, is that all of us will respond as Peter responded. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. People are starving around us. And it manifests itself in all kinds of different ways. A hopeless life, shattered dreams, bitter relationships, abuse and neglects, loneliness, and all kinds of other ways. We know of the bread of life. We have a message to give to people. I remember living in Oklahoma City, right in downtown Oklahoma City, there's a bread factory. So I used to absolutely love driving past that factory because it smelled so incredibly good. In some ways, this is kind of a weird analogy, I know, but in some ways we have the opportunity. We have the bread of life, right? we can have this incredible aroma and impact on people. We don't need to feed people Olive Garden breadsticks, even though they might be good, or Red Lobster cheese rolls are so good. We've got something so much more nourishing than that. The bread of life, the I am, the one that says, come to me and have eternal life. I think about the food pantry. You know, that one of the last tables has all kinds of bread. And with every person, as I push that cart around, I'm praying to God, God, help me to be a vessel or a channel for showing them there's so much more than just these rolls, these day-old rolls and everything that are sitting there that bring them their nourishment. Father, use me to tell them about the true source of nourishment and strength, Jesus Christ. That is our message. That is our call. If there's anybody here today that has not yet given your life over to the bread of life and found that nourishment and strength that comes through Jesus Christ, we would love to witness you make that decision in the waters of baptism. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of this assembly, as a church family that strives to bear one another's burdens, if you have any needs, you can make those known. We'd be glad to pray with you. There will also be elders available in the foyer that are willing to pray with you as well. So if you have any needs, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship God.